Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Monday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports as the Combine finished up yesterday. Some news in NFC East land. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Monday morning, brother?
Doing well. We know who the athletes are. Now comes the hard part, trying to find the good football players.
Yes, sir. It's a good way to put it, Johnny Mac. I like the way you worded that up. Any players just from the weekend stick out to you? I know we talked about the Thursday defensive line and linebacker guys, but you had offensive linemen yesterday. You had quarterback, running back, and wide receivers. And then you had secondary last week as well. So anybody jump off the page? Any players sticking out to you as you dive deeper into the draft prep for this year?
Well, I think, you know, obviously we're talking about the athletes, as I just mentioned. So I think the kid from Missouri, the offensive tackle, Armand Membu, he really showed up from a standpoint, if you look at him from an athleticism standpoint, say, all right, that guy's going to shoot up the boards. We talked about a lot about Shamar Stewart earlier in the week. Your guy, Tyler Booker, now he's going down because he was not the athlete that many expected, or at least not that they thought that he was, you know, going to be Lane Johnson. But I think there's sort of a you know, a level you have to hit typically to be a good NFL player. And he didn't hit that landmark from an athletic standpoint. And then Will Campbell has been a big deal. I think you start talking about arm measurements and that being a big thing with tackles, and his arm length was really short, which becomes a problem for NFL teams. And these are the kind of things you – and then it was interesting from the quarterback standpoint, you know, Milroe's hands growing about an – I don't know how that happened.
I mean, what is that about?
I mean, you could stretch. You can do some exercise and get a little – but that was a massive increase.
Half an inch is – I mean, it takes years to grow your hand.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's one where the whole thing is nine-inch hands are basically – the low bar to be an NFL quarterback in most people's minds. And he was under that. Now all of a sudden he's over it. But one thing I keep hearing about, boy, this quarterback class is brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody I text, he's got no skin in the game, mainly former scouts, not involved with teams right now. They're like, boof, this is not the year you want a quarterback. And there's a bunch of teams that want a quarterback, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do. It really is. That obviously is not an Eagles problem, but you know, it is a New York Giants problem, and they might keep making bad
organization problem, John. And we've talked about that. It's kind of been a theme this offseason where, you know, are free agents going to get priced out because of bad teams?
Yeah.
Are good players going to fall down the board because bad teams or bad organizations are willing to take picks on quarterbacks and stuff like that? So I think it's something to watch for sure.
Yeah, you know, Cam Ward's comfortably going to go at the top of the draft, even though he doesn't belong there. But after that,
I will say I feel a little better about Cam Ward than the rest of the crew.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's a legit first round pick.
Yeah, yeah,
I probably he'd be more in the Kenny Pickett range for me than number one. But he's, you know, there's a good chance he's going to go number one overall because of the desperation there is. And not to Tennessee necessarily, but if they trade out and everything from that, you know, possibility. And even though they need a quarterback, well, let's be honest, they don't have their answer, but they don't seem to be gung-ho on Cam Ward. So we'll see. Maybe that's just trying to get more, you know, take him a two or three, that type of thing. and that's a possibility for them. But then after that, man, poof, I would not take a quarterback in the first round. Any quarterback after Cam Ward. Any. And I know people have heard the Sanders talk all year. Yeah. They probably think that dude's not a first round pick. Not a first round. And I can see an Aaron Rodgers situation. I could see him going top five because of the bad organizations you just talked about and the desperation. And if he doesn't go, if he gets past that first group, probably the Raiders, I could see him falling a long, long way. That's so anytime you have a quarterback class that looks as poor on paper as this one, it creates some options. And then, you know, if you look at free agency standpoint, tomorrow's the last day. You can put the franchise tag on people. I don't think Minnesota's going to put the franchise tag on Sam Darnold. So he'll be the top guy, unless you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. But do you really want to pay Sam Darnold $40 million
a year? Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough conversation. Now, you'll be competent at the bare minimum with Sam Darnold versus one of these rookies,
right,
which can get really ugly, and then comes in, especially if you look at the New York Giants and Joe Shane, he can't afford to look really ugly.
No, I mean, he's coaching for his job, and he knows that. So I think he's going to trade up to the one pick and take Cam Ward. Or I guess they're talking about Aaron Rodgers now to the Giants. I mean,
well, that's what I mean. If you want to keep your job, you almost have to go Aaron Rodgers over Cam. You're not keeping your job with Cam Ward unless you talk John Marion to, well, it's his first year. Understand it's going to be. You already did that last year.
Right.
I mean, can you get – maybe you can, but – not a good situation to be in.
Yeah, tough one there. So we'll see how it all shakes out, though. A couple other good players at the combine stuck out to me. We'll get into all of those. We have Jeff Kerr coming up at 8:20. I don't want to bog our whole first segment down. I do want to talk to Johnny Mack about Deebo Samuel gets traded, John, to the Washington Commanders for a fifth-round pick. Your initial thoughts, your initial reaction to that move. Commanders are going to be aggressive, John, and it started already.
Yeah, well, my first reaction is don't compare Jahan Dotson to Deebo Samuel. I mean, people have to understand you're trading a contract as well as a player.
Right.
I mean, but how did Howie give up a third-round pick and they get it? The contract. Come on, we got to elevate the con. We got to elevate these conversations. Yeah, right.
I'm not giving you a third and taking on a $20 million.
Yeah. Line. I mean, come on, guys. And that's for the group that went down that low-hanging fruit route. And by the way, I think John, I've said it, I think he proved in the playoffs a little bit. He can play.
Yeah.
Much better third receiver. Now, the Eagles don't use their third receiver. That's more of a legitimate conversation. If you don't use your third receiver, should you really be giving up that type of pick? And there was a pick coming back as well that factors into it. That's a more legitimate conversation. But I saw a bunch of people going, oh, they got to pay. Come on. That contract. But for the player himself, I mean, if this were 2 years ago, I'd be concerned from an Eagles standpoint. He did not look like Deebo Samuel last season at all. He did not look like. And I remember when he wanted out of San Francisco the first time, Jody and I would talk about it. I said, you better be careful what you wish for, because there aren't many coaches that are good. He's a manufactured touch guy.
Yeah.
This ain't a guy who's going to run routes and get open as an outside receiver. And you take now, Cliff Kingsbury's one of those guys too. He can probably figure it out a little bit better. But I would say at the time in San Francisco, you know, there's very few people that were going to use him as effectively as Kyle Shanahan.
I know. I saw like Emmanuel Acho put out, oh, and now he has a chance to be in that system. I'm like, oh, now Kyle Shanahan's not a great play caller?
Yeah. I don't agree with that.
I mean, come on.
This is a manufactured touch player. This is not Justin Jefferson. This is not a guy who's going to burn you with route running down the field. This is a guy who needs the bubble screens and the motion and the reverses, and even lining up in the backfield as a running back and getting him the football that way. So, I'm not as concerned. It's a big name. I know some Eagles fans are concerned, not concerned at all. I mean, it tells me a lot that San Francisco, which is a good organization, not that I haven't made mistakes, are saying, yeah, go ahead, take the player. Tells me a lot.
Yeah, well, I think they're also in a little bit of recoup mode, John, from those three first-rounders they gave up for Trey Lance. I mean, eventually that comes back to bite you. I think they're kind of –
Well, there's an example of a bad quarterback decision, by the way.
I know. So true. But, I'm kind of with you. I tweeted out. It doesn't really move me much, the deal. I don't dislike the player. I just don't think he's that much of a game changer. Now, maybe Cliff uses him perfectly. But, again, it doesn't really sway me much. But what I will say is, I think the Commanders are going to be very aggressive all offseason. I think that was just the first pin to drop. And
They're in the mode where they have a young quarterback who's successful and cheap on his cost-effective deal relatively, so you can afford to make some of these deals where maybe you can't if your quarterback is in that second contract and that big money era. So
I just don't really get that. Like, I would have rather paid T. Higgins if I was them, but maybe that's a little
bit. He's a better receiver, but Cincinnati, I think, is still trying to figure out. Now, obviously, they're a cash poor team, so it's difficult for them, and they know what's coming down the road with Jamar Chase. So I still think they're trying to work things out with T. Higgins, and we'll see how that works out. Whereas San Francisco wanted to get out of the Deebo Samuel business, which tells me a lot. You know, that I just don't think, you know, if this is 2021 Deebo Samuel, things move fast in the NFL.
I know, man. And he did not look like the same guy last year.
He did not at all. Now, maybe there's some injury issues and maybe he gets healthier. And maybe I'm eating these words, but I'm not concerned about this at all. I think it's a bad move from Washington, from the player standpoint. I think it makes sense if they think he's, again, that 20, he can recapture that. I have no problem with giving up a fifth round pick for that contract where Washington is in their sort of, you know, cycle with the quarterback. This is exactly the time you would do that. I just don't think the player is what he was. And there's a big difference between 2021 and 2025 in the NFL. And he looked like he fell off the cliff last year.
I know. Now, how much of their – that doesn't really matter. How much of their contract are they going to end up paying out? Is it the full thing? Like, I don't know how – that's where it gets fishy, right? We have a player like that. You trade them. I mean
– yeah, they traded for the contract. It wasn't that sort of salary dump deal that you see in the NBA. That's becoming more of a thing. In the NFL, this wasn't a dump. It was a dump from San Francisco's standpoint.
Right, but they're not eating any of the contract. No. Washington's picking that sucker up. Okay.
Exactly. So that's why they only got a fifth-round pick for him. The more you're willing to eat from the contract standpoint, the higher that pick is going to go.
Right, like I'll give you a fourth if you eat
30%
of the contract. That's not what they were willing to do. So now, interesting move though, man, John. I think this NFC East is going to get, look, everybody's going to start to be more aggressive. I mean, Eagles are sitting at the top of the mountain. And honestly, if you're another GM in this division or this conference, you're probably looking at the Eagles like, damn, they're far. Like they're way ahead of us right now. So people are going to be aggressive. People are going to make moves. Now the question is, will they make the right moves? I don't really look at Deebo Samuel and think that's the right move, but small price.
I'm the same thing. Now, I do like Adam Peters. It's only 1 year. I think he did a very good job. I think he comes from San Francisco. That's part of the reason as well. They have that relationship. Right. But I think he's shown good signs of being a good GM and knowing what he's doing. But, I still think this is a two-horse race because the other two teams just make bad decision after bad decision. Right. And I could see it already developing with the New York Giants again in this quarterback situation. It seems they put all their eggs.
It's going to happen, John. The Giants are going to make a head scratcher. We all know it.
It seems like they put all their eggs in the Matthew Stafford basket. And when Matthew Stafford decided to go back to the Rams, they're scrambling already. I always talk about contingencies and Howie Roseman. And you got to have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D lined up. And you got to pivot, bang, bang, bang. Seems like, oh, my God, we didn't get Stafford. Let's go talk to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, might work out, but that'd be a situation of better being lucky than good. Or boy, I mean, trading up to get Cam Ward. Ugh. I mean, why don't you trade up last year in the quarterback draft? I know.
when your 8-year-old son told you to. No, I know. I mean, look, there's going to be a lot of decisions that are made that are not going to be good. So we'll talk about them all through the offseason. Should be an interesting time. This is where I think Howie John is just leaps ahead of everybody. Everybody's going to make mistakes with plan A, right? That's just part of being a GM. It's plan B, C, D, and E where the great GMs prevail. And if you look at some of our best moves, John, and what made this team a Super Bowl team, they weren't plan A. A lot of it wasn't plan A. No. You talk about it all the time. It's interesting to see. But we will talk about all of that. John, one other thing I want to talk to you about before Jeff Kerr checks in with us is that Jordan Davis option that's upcoming here. Howie will have 2 months to make a decision here. Jordan was the 13th overall pick. Howie has till May 2nd to decide whether or not to pick up that fifth-year option. It's $12.938 million for that 2026 season. How do you see this playing out? What do you think the right move is here? And what do you think the Eagles will end up doing with Jordan Davis?
You still have time. I think people don't understand. If you decline the fifth-year option, you still have the whole fourth year to work something else out. Right now, as the Eagles are using him and have used him, and now it's a pretty large sample size. And I've been talking about this player since the day he was drafted with Jody. I called it esoteric on the night they drafted. I said, I don't know if this is going to go over because people expect certain things out of the 13th overall pick, and you're probably not going to get them. And now I'm talking about sacks and things like that. This is a run-stuffing player. Now, I think there was some hope there would be more development in the pass rush, better push. I always compared him to Haloti Ngata, not the Haloti Ngata that was here at the end of his career, but the all-pro Haloti Ngata. And if he developed to that level, I said, that's going to be a good pick. It might not be the sexiest pick in the world, but that's going to be a good pick. Hasn't really developed to that level. You know, if you look at just from a playing standpoint, playing time standpoint, here's the numbers. Jalen Carter, 1,067 snaps this past year through the Super Bowl. Now, he had that tremendous spike up, tremendous season. Then came Milton at 653. Then I think this blows people's minds. Number three was Moro Ajomo, 490. And then came Jordan Davis, 444.
That's a lot of snaps for Moro Ajomo. Makes you feel better about losing Milton, though.
Yeah, Moro's. I said it last week on the show. I think he's got a lot of potential. You know, one of the things that he's very young. He entered college when he was 16.
Yeah.
It's back in Nigeria. That was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Moro Ajomo. Was that like the, I don't know what it is, the prime minister or president?
President.
President of Nigeria. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got to meet with him, got to be honored for winning the Super Bowl. So that was pretty cool. But he's really young. He was undersized for a defensive tackle. It's funny when you call 6'3", 295-pound guys undersized, but they are in the modern NFL. So, and Vic kind of, if you listen to Vic all year, he would mention that all the time with Moro. He's undersized, but he's getting bigger. He's gotten a lot bigger since he's gotten here. He's a natural pass rusher. And here's the thing with Vic Fangio that I said this last week on the show. It's pretty simple with Vic. Can you stop the run with four guys on the front? If you can, that's what he's going to play. If you can't, then he starts playing more five-man fronts. And even if you look at week three in New Orleans, when they were struggling a little bit, New Orleans looked like they were going to be the best rushing team in history after two games. He rolled out the six-man front and completely shut down the Saints. He will do what he needs to do. But by the second half of the season, the Eagles were having no problem, for the most part, stopping the run with a four-man front, so Jordan Davis played less. Ironically, he showed a little bit as a pass rusher, probably the best he's ever been in the playoffs. But if you're pushing, I wouldn't give him the fifth-year option.
You would say no?
I wouldn't, because you can't pay $13 million to which is basically what it is, to a guy who plays 35-40% of the snaps, especially when you got Jalen Carter's contract coming down the pike. So I wouldn't do it, but that's not necessarily a death knell. I think people think it's a death knell. You can work out a deal.
Yeah.
You can work out a deal more commensurate with his role.
By the way, I don't think, is there even any world where Howie would just say, all right, we pick up the fifth-year option and there's no other deal attached to it? Like, I don't think Howie would do that. Like, I could see a Devontae
Smith deal where he
combines that fifth-year option, maybe gives him a three-year, $36 million, $33 or $30 million extension, works that fifth-year option and lessens the cap hit, and it's a manageable role player. I could see that.
Yeah, and he's done that in the past where he's folded in the fifth-year option right. with an extension, and that would be the long – basically, it's a placeholder. There's no way he's bringing up back Jordan Davis for 1 year at 12.9.
Right.
Now, could he exercise the option as a placeholder as he gets something else done? Yes. But if it came down to just the fifth-year option, I'm like, nah, I can't do that. But, there's other options, which I think too many don't understand. So, day one, I knew Jordan Davis was going to be a question because people expect sacks when you're the 13th overall pick. And this is not a sack-based player. This is a run-stuffing player.
Yeah, well done. You have been on point with Jordan Davis from the jump, Johnny Mack. Good stuff there. We're going to get to Jeff Kerr in a second. I got one super chat, John, and the people in the chat have been waiting to bring this up. I had to make them wait at least 20 minutes to do it, but here we go, John. Jeff, if this takes longer than I thought, I apologize. Flexion says, I need J-Mac's thoughts on the Elimination Chamber. I think there was a big WWE event this weekend, John. I didn't catch it live, but I did see it all over my Twitter timeline.
Yeah, you saw it all over your Twitter. Yeah. I always say.
People what they want, Johnny Mac, your take.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I always say pro wrestling, for the losers like me that make pro wrestling, there's nothing better when it's done right. There's nothing better when it's done right. And it was done right over the weekend. They made WrestleMania, which is coming up in Las Vegas in April, as big as it could possibly be. And that's what you're looking for. For those who don't know, John Cena, who's been like the biggest baby face for 20 plus years, Mr. Make-A-Wish turned heel. Kids are crying. You know, when you touch those nerves.
Yeah, right.
You know, you hit the home run. They hit the home run. They hit the home run.
Give it to us in 60 seconds. You just did kind of, but 60 seconds. What's the storyline now for the April event? John Cena is now
the storyline is John Cena sold his soul to The Rock. Cody Rhodes, the babyface, told Rock to go fuck himself. There's my curse word of the day, but that's what they said. So it's a quote. It's what Cody Rhodes said. So, Rock sort of stands above everyone as the, you know, he's a part of it. It's real life sort of mixing with the fantasy world of pro wrestling. For those who don't know, Dwayne Johnson's part of the board of TKO, which owns WWE and UFC. So the storyline is he's the final boss. He's the guy in charge. And he wanted Cody Rhodes to be his corporate sort of champion. And Cody told him to go F himself. And he told John Cena to, put him down.
I saw that video in the timeline.
The throat slash.
Yeah, the throat slash. All right, good stuff there, everybody. We appreciate everybody being here today on Birds 365. Don't forget to hit that like button. We got a great crowd in here. We recapped the combine a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more about that with Jeff Kerr coming up, Jordan Davis's option, and Deebo Samuel in the NFC East. Get ready, everybody. Everybody's now chasing the birds, all right? When you get to the top of the mountain, you approach things differently as when you're climbing that mountain. So we'll see what the Eagles do to answer some of these moves the other teams are making. Let's get to Jeff Kerr. Before I do that, I want to give you guys a quick live read on BetUS. I'm going to tell you guys about the great people at BetUS. Go to betus.com.pa. That's betus.com.pa. Use the promo code YouTube150. You get 150% sign-up bonus on your very first deposit. You get 125% on your second and third deposit, all up to $2,000. So deposit less and bet with more at BetUS. Go to betus.com.pa. That's betus.com.pa. Let's
shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.